Good morning, fathers and brothers. It's a privilege to be here this morning, and thank you for the opportunity to come and be with you today. I would like to address a passage that is familiar to us from 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And I want to address the theme briefly this morning, faithful stewards of Christ. There in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, beginning in verse 1, hear now the inspired word of the living God. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. For it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for your word, which indeed is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we come to hear the scriptures preached this morning, I would ask that you would give me utterance, that you would pour out your spirit upon me, and that you would speak to me as well as to my fellow brothers here in this court. And we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Much of evangelicalism today has departed from the sound faith once entrusted to the saints. Modern evangelicalism has embraced aberrant doctrines and practices contrary to the Scripture. But sadly, even within some Reformed circles, the ministry of the Word and Sacrament has fallen by the wayside for new methods that are adopted to adapt to the culture. But here in this passage before us, Paul gives to Timothy sound advice that must be heeded even in our own generation. As I preach this passage this morning, I remind myself as well as each one of us of what Paul exhorts Timothy to do here in this passage. As he begins to exhort him to these things, he reminds him there in chapter 1, verse 8, that he is not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. And there in verses 12 through 14 of that first chapter, he tells Timothy to guard that which has been entrusted to him. In our passage before us, Paul exhorts Timothy and all fellow elders in every generation to be faithful servants who carry out their ministry. I'd like to just address three brief exhortations this morning that Paul outlines here in the second chapter. And the first exhortation is to Timothy and to us as well to be strong in the Lord. There in verse 1 he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul has just exhorted him in chapter 1 to guard that which has been entrusted to him, to guard through the Holy Spirit that treasure that has been entrusted to him. And he says, because you've been given this treasure, because you have received the grace of God to proclaim the gospel, he says, therefore be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is not exhorting us here to put on grace. He's not exhorting us to find some fresh wind of God's grace, but he says, the grace that is in you, you are called to be strong because that grace is already there in you. And so he exhorts him, he exhorts us, that because we have been given a trust, because we are stewards of the mysteries of God, we are called to be strong in the Lord. Too often in our own ministries, it is easy and it is a great temptation for us to be strong in ourselves, to rely on our own skills, our own ingenuity. But at the end of the day, it all fails. Our ministries become fodder if we stand in our own strength, in our own power. The Scripture reminds us that pride comes before the fall. We are called not to be strong in our own strength. We're called not to be strong in our own power, but we are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is the motivation for our ministry. That was the motivation for Paul's ministry. That was the motivation for Timothy's ministry, that he was to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When you read the life of the Apostle Paul and his ministry and his missionary journeys, he relied completely and solely upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was humbled before the risen Christ and realized that he had no strength and power in himself. And so therefore we are to stand strong in that grace, because in the day of battle, when we are called to minister the grace that God has given to us, we will need strength in order to stand. We will need strength to oppose the enemies of the gospel. The only way we can oppose them is by standing strong in the grace of our King and our warrior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, he exhorts him to entrust to faithful men sound doctrine. There in verse 2, he says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul there in verse 6 of chapter 1 says, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. As Timothy was there before the elders and received the apostolic ministry through the laying on of hands, he was called to impart what he had learned to faithful men who would be able to teach others. And this is really the model, I think, that Paul lays down for us, that we are called, as we stand in the presence of many witnesses, that we are to entrust to faithful men in every generation the sound doctrine, the word of truth that has been entrusted to us. We are called to impart nothing else other than the word of truth. We are not called to expound on philosophy or the things of our day, but we are called to expound on sound doctrine and that word of truth. Paul there reminds him that as he took that oath before many witnesses, he is called to entrust it not to men, but to faithful men who will be able to teach others. There's nothing worse in the ministry than faithless men who are not able to teach. In fact, that was the concern of the Puritans in days gone by, that much of the ministry in the day of the Puritans had fallen under men who were not faithful to the gospel. Men who had abandon the faith. And there was a concern that much of the clergy in many of the Puritans' days had fallen away and were not stewards of the mystery of God. And so Paul says, entrust these to faithful men men who are faithful to the gospel, men who are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, men who are faithful to their charge, so that they will be able to teach others. Notice there he says that we entrust these sound truths to faithful men who will be able to teach others. If they're not faithful men, if they're not imparting sound truth, then they will not be able to teach others. In every generation, we, as elders of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are to entrust sound truth to the next generation. And so that is the admonition that Paul gives here to Timothy, gives to us as well, to entrust that sound doctrine, that faithful word of truth, to men who will be able to teach others. Thirdly and finally, he says, to suffer hardship for me as a good soldier of Christ. There in verse 3 through the end of the section we're looking at, he says, suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Paul, in his own life and ministry, exemplified well what it was to suffer as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Paul describes there in 2 Corinthians how he had suffered for the cause of the gospel, how he had spent time on the open sea, how he had been beaten and flogged for the gospel, how he had been imprisoned, and how he had suffered great hardship for the cause of Christ. Paul was not exhorting them to things that he had not experienced, but he was calling them to be faithful soldiers of Christ Jesus. And he says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. Here in this passage, it reminds us that we will suffer hardship. In fact, he says there in chapter 3, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not a matter of you may, but Paul says it's a matter of the fact that we must suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ. And then he gives three illustrations of what he means there to suffer hardship. The first illustration he gives is the illustration of soldiers in active combat. He reminds them there that no soldier who is in active duty entangles himself in what? The affairs of everyday life. Those who are called to the ministry of the Word and Sacrament, those who are called to govern the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are called to a high and holy calling. They are not called to common everyday things of life, but they are called to a higher calling. They are called to enlist in service for the Lord Jesus Christ as they impart the word of truth. And so here he says that soldiers are active in combat, and we too must be active as soldiers of Christ suffering hardship. The second illustration he gives is there in verse 5. Anyone who competes as an athlete does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Here again, Paul reminds us that we must compete with hardship and follow the path that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid out for us. And then he uses the illustration there of the hard-working farmer who receives the reward of his crop for hard work and labor. I've often chuckled over the years, had someone, and in fact it was a cousin or second cousin, who once asked me, well, you know, you're a pastor, what do you do all day? What do you do every week? And I jokingly said, oh, I just spend my day on the golf course. Because that's the assumption that a lot of people have. Well, what does a pastor do? I remember many years ago when John MacArthur was asked what the primary function of his ministry was, he said, to study the Word of God so that I might preach and impart that to my congregation. But you know, that takes hard work and labor. You know, after you've preached on the Lord's Day, you come down from the pulpit, you feel exhausted, don't you? You feel like you're ready to just lay down and sleep. And yet the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is hard labor. And Paul reminds us that we are to suffer hardship, that we are to be involved in that labor for the cause of Christ. And so he says, be strong in the Lord and trust sound doctrine to faithful men, and be good soldiers of Christ Jesus. And then he concludes by telling them to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who's risen from the dead, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. For the word of God is not imprisoned. Paul says, in your labor, in the hard labor of the gospel, remember Christ Jesus. He is our shepherd. He is our king. He is our warrior, whom we are called to suffer hardship for the sake of his gospel. We are to suffer as prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to endure hardship for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul poured himself out for the progress of the gospel. Paul emptied himself so that he might become a drink offering. And he calls us to labor in the same stead, remembering that Christ calls us to be fellow warriors with him in the cause of the gospel. Our culture is becoming more hostile toward the church and toward the gospel. And we need faithful soldiers in our day who will carry out the marching orders of our King and our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers, I urge you this morning to remember again the admonition that Paul gives to Timothy, that we are to suffer hardship, that we are to endure all things for the sake of the gospel, because I believe that in the next number of years, we will see greater conflict and greater difficulty for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will come times when we will be tempted to give in and compromise. But we must remember that no matter what the culture does, no matter what the culture says, we are called to impart sound truth to our people. We are called to labor in the gospel with much hardship, perhaps even imprisonment, but remembering that Christ gives us the grace and the strength to stand. And I would urge you, brothers, today to take your marching orders once again from the Lord Jesus Christ and to remember that we are called to suffer for the gospel and to suffer hardship for the sake of Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our head and you are our King. And we would pray for the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would grant us the strength to stand in the grace that you've given to us, that we would not turn back, we would not compromise, that even in this day in which the battle becomes fierce, even in this day when the forces of evil are opposing the church, we pray that we would be more diligent and more faithful in taking our marching orders and standing the strength that you give us, so that we might be faithful soldiers of Christ, pouring out the word of life and opening up the treasures of your grace and mercy before our people. Encourage us today, O Lord, in the hardship and the battle we face, that we might serve Christ and serve him faithfully. For we pray in his holy and gracious name. Amen. I don't have a psalm, but it might be appropriate to conclude with a psalm if somebody has an appropriate psalm.
Yes. Why don't we turn to 138?